In Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20, Jesus speaks these words. He says, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Make disciples. That's what Jesus says to do. Go and make disciples. The going part isn't so difficult. We can go just about every single day, and we can get out there, and we can meet people. It's the making disciples part that we sometimes need some help with. And we all need to be involved in making disciples. And one of the things that we need to know is, what exactly does it mean to be a disciple? It's one thing to say, go and make disciples. It's another thing to know, well, what is a disciple? Well, Jesus gives us a little snippet of information here when he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We make disciples by doing those two things, baptizing and teaching. And those things go together. And so, but what is it that we should teach? What is it that we should say? What does it mean to be a disciple? Maybe we need to ask the questions of ourselves. Do I know what it means to be a disciple? So that I think about that in reference to teaching others what it means to be a disciple. Well, I would like for us to think about that this morning. Jesus certainly wants us to make disciples, and in doing that, we need to be disciples as well. What does that mean? Well, first of all, a disciple is a follower. To be a disciple, we are committing to following Jesus. How do we follow Jesus? Well, we have got to know what it is that Jesus wants from us. We've got to know who Jesus is and what his life teaches us. And so as we think about this morning, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? I would like for us to think about three answers to that question. First of all, to be a disciple of Jesus, it means to be committed to the values of Jesus and his desires. First of all, by listening and following Jesus as my spiritual leader. That's the very first thing it means to be a disciple. Secondly, by participating in the church, which is Jesus' instrument to address concerns in the world. And third, by caring about other people in both physical and spiritual ways. And I want us to think about these three things this morning. First of all, being a disciple of Jesus means being committed to his values by listening and following Jesus as my spiritual leader. Now, of course, what does that mean? What does that entail? Well, it entails listening, it entails believing, and it entails following and obeying Jesus. All three of those things are involved in being a disciple. A disciple listens to what Jesus says. He said in John chapter 10 and verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Those who are to be disciples of Jesus must listen to what Jesus has to say. And that's important, that we listen. We've got to open the pages of the New Testament, and we've got to study those pages, because those are the words of Jesus. When we look at what Jesus says in the gospel accounts, we are listening to him. When we read the words of the apostles as they are inspired by the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus sent in his name, we are listening to Jesus when we do that. And so we've got to hear what Jesus says. We cannot have faith within our life without, first of all, listening to Jesus. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. But we've got to listen to Jesus. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Revelation 3 and verse 20. It all starts with listening to his voice. And so a disciple listens to Jesus. But then secondly, a disciple believes Jesus. As we think about listening and following Jesus, we've got to believe what Jesus says. Jesus wants his disciples to believe in him. In John chapter 2 and verse 11, we read this. "This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him." You see, disciples believe in Jesus. And it's important that we believe in Jesus, that we believe the miracles that he did, that we believe the good things that he said, that we believe in the good works that Jesus did. We've got to believe in Jesus, and especially to believe in the work that he did in providing for man's salvation. And that work, of course, was when he went to the cross and died there on the cross so that we might have forgiveness of our sins. Believing in Jesus, though, means more than just making a mental acknowledgement of who he is. It means putting into practice within our life the things that Jesus tells us to do. It's important that we understand that Jesus says that becoming a disciple means that we are teaching others to become a disciple means that we teach them to observe all things that Jesus has commanded us. And so we teach them to observe those things. What does that mean? What does it mean to observe? Maybe you've gone down the freeway and you've seen some construction signs. And there is a construction sign that precedes all other construction signs. And that construction sign says, "Observe warning signs." What does that mean? It means you better do it. You better follow these warning signs. You better put them into practice. And so if that means that the speed limit changes from 75 to 65 in the construction zone, then we are to observe that speed limit change and change our speed. If it means that we are to move over a lane and not drive in the construction area, which should be obvious, then we should observe those signs that say move over into the lane that is not being that the construction is not in. That's what it means to observe the warning signs. And so when Jesus says to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, that means we are to teach others to obey Jesus' words. And that's part of believing in Jesus. In John 11 verses 25 and 26, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? And so that is Jesus' power, the power to save. And when we believe Jesus and when we observe what he has commanded, then he gives us life. Not only life here, but eternal life as well. And so a disciple believes Jesus, but a disciple follows Jesus. In Matthew 4 and verse 19, he said to the 12, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me. That's what Jesus wants us to do. And what does it mean? It means forsaking all others. In other words, Jesus takes priority within our life. Look at Matthew chapter 8 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 8 and verses 18 through 22. We're going to read some who said they would be followers of Jesus. And then what did Jesus do? He challenged them as to how they were going to follow Him. Because sometimes people say, oh, I will follow Jesus. But they don't really mean it. Because they will put others before Jesus. Now notice what it says here. It says, when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave a commandment to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to Him, Teacher, I will follow You wherever You go. Now it's important that we understand what that means. It means he's committing to being a disciple of Jesus. When someone says, I will follow You, in the Greek New Testament, it's the same word as being a disciple. I will be a disciple of You. I will follow You. Verse 20, and Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Well, what is He saying to this man? He's saying, are you willing and ready to give up the comforts of life in order to follow Me? That's the question he's asking him by using this illustration. Are we willing to do what it takes to follow Jesus, even if it means giving up the comforts of our life? That's the challenge for the disciples of Jesus. Look at verse 21. Then another of His disciples said to Him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Notice, of His disciples or of His followers. Let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow Me, or be a disciple of Me, and let the dead bury their own dead. This is challenging. But what is Jesus saying here? He's saying that if you're going to follow Him and be His disciple, then He must come first. And even beyond our own family, Jesus must come first. And so to be a disciple of Jesus means that we will forsake all of our own comforts, if that is necessary. And it also means that we will forsake even our own family, if that is necessary, to be a disciple of Jesus. Now hopefully, neither one of those things will be necessary, but if they are, we must choose Jesus above those other things. So being a disciple of Jesus means being committed to His values by listening and following Jesus as my spiritual leader. Secondly, being a disciple of Jesus means being committed to His values by caring about others. Jesus wants us to care about both the physical and the spiritual concerns of others. Now, Jesus exemplified this. He cared about others while He lived on the earth. He had spiritual concerns for them. Matthew 9 and verse 36 says, when He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Like sheep without a shepherd. Now that was a spiritual concern He had for them, that He could be their spiritual leader. He also had physical concerns for them. In Matthew 14 and verse 14 it says, when He went ashore, He saw a great crowd, and He had compassion on them and healed their sick. That was concern for their physical well-being that Jesus showed there. So He had spiritual concerns and He had physical concerns. And people have both physical and spiritual concerns that need to be met. And a disciple of Jesus is going to seek to meet those concerns. In Acts 2 and verse 44 and 45, they looked at the physical concerns that needed to be met. They had all things in common. They sold their possessions and belongings and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. In Acts 6 and verse 1, there was a need among the widows, and that they were being neglected in the daily ministration. Those were physical concerns that the church met because they were disciples of Jesus. They also have spiritual concerns, people do, that we need to meet. In Romans 1 and verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith, even as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. That's a spiritual concern that we must meet as disciples of Jesus. And so if we meet these spiritual concerns, both of those who are non-Christians and those who are Christians. Christians have spiritual needs from time to time. And if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, watching also ourselves, lest we be tempted. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. And so as a disciple of Christ, I am to care about others. And then finally, as a disciple of Christ, we are to be committed to Jesus' values by participating in the church. The church is Jesus' instrument to impact the world today. Ephesians 3 and verses 20 and 21 affirm this. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Listen to that. The power at work within us. Unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So the power at work within us, that is what we do through God's help to impact the world around us today with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We impact it by caring about other people, about their physical needs and their spiritual needs. The church is the people of God. And by caring for other people, we change the world that is around us. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to change the world one person at a time. And that's why we emphasize so much from this pulpit the responsibility that each person has to share the gospel with others, to be involved in personal evangelism. And because Jesus wants us to change the world. And that's what we are to be about the business of doing. Changing the world. Now we change the world in a lot of different ways by caring about others. We are to remember the poor. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 10. We are to worship in spirit and in truth. This worship service this morning changes the world by our coming together and worshiping God through studying His Word, singing these praises, remembering the Lord in the Lord's Supper, praying and giving. We change the world. Okay? That's part of what it means to be a member of the Church of Christ. By evangelizing, we change the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. By doing that, we change the world. We cannot impact the world if we don't participate in the work of the church. And we've got to do that. We've got to be participants in that work. And being a disciple of Jesus means that we participate in the church. And so we've talked about three ways this morning that we can be a disciple of Jesus. Now there's more details here that we haven't discussed. But this is sort of the high level view of things. To be a disciple of Jesus means, number one, listening and following Jesus as my spiritual leader. Second, it means caring about others, both their physical needs and their spiritual needs. And third, it means participating in the church, Jesus' instrument to impact the world. Do you need to become a disciple of Jesus this morning? Then we urge you to observe all things that Jesus has commanded. And to do that, to begin to do that, you've got to listen to Jesus. And you've got to believe in Him. You've got to then repent of your sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized to identify with Him. You cannot be a disciple of Christ without being baptized, Jesus said as much in Matthew 28 and verses 18 and 20. And so you become a disciple by being baptized, and then we learn and we grow. We participate in the church and we impact the world and we change the world that is around us. So why not become a Christian this morning? That would be a great thing to do, to start this week off right, to become a disciple of Jesus Christ by being baptized and identifying with Him. If you're a Christian and you need the prayers of the church this morning, then we exhort you also to take advantage of this time while we're together to pray for you so that you may change and that the world may change around you. Jesus' desire is to change the world so that the world can be more like Him, and He is our God. He is our Creator. He is our Savior. And why not make that choice this morning to become a disciple of Christ while together we stand and while we sing?